Thank you, Brother Roberts. All right. We have Helps Ministries with us today, and I'll just say this. We won't get to hear from all of them. Some of them are over in our Spanish church right now, and they're kind of presenting, and the Spanish church will be with us tonight in our main service. So we'll get to hear from three other nationals tonight. But this morning, I've asked Brother Glenn Moorman to come and preach for us this morning, but he's going to have one of the men come, give a testimony. You come, brother, and you take the service. Appreciate him very much. How many of you have your Bibles tonight or this morning? All right, bring them back tonight. Amen. All
right. Thank you, Pastor. Brother Nazareth will be coming. Go ahead, brother. He is one of over 700 national pastors from around the world. The ministry has been bringing to the United States for 30 years and getting them in good independent fundamental Baptist churches, getting them a helping hand to go back home to do a whole lot more than what they were capable on the meager wage they may have had in their country. And Nazareth is from India, so take a few minutes and tell us what you're doing.
Well, good morning to you all. I want to thank God for this beautiful opportunity. And it is always good to be in the house of the Lord with his people. My name is Nazarene De Burma, and I'm from India. I'm from Northeast India, which is very close to Bangladesh and Myanmar. That is where my ministry is. And when we talk about India, I know you all have a little bit knowledge about India. It's a big country, and also it is a very colorful country. And we have the world's largest population in the world. We have just surpassed China back in 2023, which estimated 1.4 billion population. One of the good things being our largest population in the world is because we have an opportunity to preach the gospel to these people. And 80% of the population that practices Hinduism, and then Islam, Christianity has got only 2%, including all the Catholics and the cults. And in our area, we are the only independent Baptist. I want to start with my grandfather. My grandfather, he was a very Hindu devoted man. Before he became a Christian, he worshiped a lot of idols because whatever they find, they take as God. It says that Hinduism has got 330 million gods. And my grandfather, he was one of them. He worshiped a lot of idols. He worshiped rocks and trees. And every week he has to offer an animal. He has to sacrifice an animal to his idol. And after through the local preacher, he became a Christian. And then after he became a Christian, he built a church near to his house. And he started sharing the gospel to the villagers and also the near areas. And people started coming to Christ slowly. And but there was a war broke out back in 1999, and our church was burned down, and all our houses was burned down, and we were without church for quite some time. And I got saved through my cousin. My cousin, he's the one who shared the gospel to me. And one day he invited me to his house. Nazarene, would you come to my house? And I went to his house. And as soon as I entered to his house, he asked me a question. Are you saved? That's the question he asked me. And I was shocked because I was not sure about my salvation. And then he shared to me from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And on that day, I got saved, saved by grace through faith in Christ. And after that, I started sharing the gospel to my villagers and the near areas. And after I graduated from Bible school, I stepped into the ministry. And I've been in the ministry for 9 years. And we have 6 churches so far in our ministry. And our vision is we want to plant more churches. And the first church that we planned, it was in 2016. God gave us only 3 families. We started with only 3 families. And now that church has 80-plus members. And out of the church, we have also planted 5 more churches. So we have 6 churches in our ministry. Our ministry is, we focus on church planting. Why? Because why we focus on church planting is because local church is our foundation where we can train men and we can send them out in the mission field so that they can produce more churches. And we need more church plant to impact the world with the gospel. And our vision is we want to plant more churches as long as God gives us the power to do it in our nation. Can you imagine 1.4 billion people and only 2% Christian? And there are a lot of people yet to hear the gospel of God. So pray for us so that we will be able to reach out to those people so that they can come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And you have heard about the persecutions in India. But I want to tell you, the persecution is not only in India. It is everywhere in the world. Why? Because we preach the gospel. The message of salvation is in our hand. That is why the devil doesn't like when we preach the gospel. That is why he tried to bring the persecution. But God is still in the saving business. Although there are persecutions, people are still getting saved. Church has been planted in India. So keep praying for India and also for our ministry so that we will be able to win soul for Christ as long as we live in this world. May the good Lord bless us all together. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. You'll be opening your Bible, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to thank Pastor Parsons for the privilege to be here today and to be in the pulpit. I know it's a sacrifice to give up your pulpit on a Sunday morning, and Help Ministry definitely appreciates that I have this opportunity to be here. And if you're a visitor today, please come back next week and hear this good preacher. Sunday school was an absolute blessing and a challenge this morning that he taught. And I will go home today and I'll write Mrs. Carter's name down in my prayer journal, and I'll be praying for her. And I'm grateful for Pastor Carter allowing me the privilege to preach many times here in his pulpit. I want to thank Scotty and Barbara Drake for the privilege to give me a ministry after pastoring for 42 years where I could continue to serve the Lord by representing Help Ministry here in the state of Florida. And you may have heard that I had cancer earlier in the year, and if you prayed for me, I want to let you know that I appreciate it. In March, I found out that I had colon cancer for the second time in my life. 18 years ago, I had a section cut out of my colon, and on May 8th, I had my second colon cancer surgery, and so God has been really good to me, and I'm so grateful. I really feel like I'm one of God's spoiled children. Anybody else here feel like you're one of God's spoiled children? Isn't God good to us? And I just want to, again, thank Pastor Parsons and thank you folks for allowing me to be here. Philippians chapter 4, if you have your Bible open, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. It means don't worry. Don't worry. Worry says God can't take care of this problem. That's why worry is a sin. Don't worry. Be careful, it says, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if we're not careful when we come to church, and especially to a missions conference, we're going to hear again about the millions and yea, billions of people that have not yet heard the wonderful story we get to hear all the time in our good churches. You're going to hear about the great needs of the mission fields, the needs to support more men of God going to the mission field, more families, and the need to give more while we still have an opportunity, the urgent need for more laborers to go. We're just not getting enough workers out into the harvest field. The need for revival in our churches and, yea, in our own lives. You're going to come to church and hear about the trouble with the economy and crime and wars and rumors of war. But let's remember what God said. Be careful. Do not worry. I am still on my throne. God is still answering prayer. God is still working in our churches. God is working on the mission fields around His world. God is really doing a great work in His world, whether we're aware of it or not. Now, we hear a lot about fake news and bad news. Well, I'm going to give you some good news this morning, and you're not going to hear this on CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox News. Now, most of my data was given to me by a BIMI missions director. Number one, more Muslims, of which they're the greatest population in our world, over 2.2 billion Muslims. More Muslims have come to faith in Jesus Christ since 1970 up to today, in 55 years, in what they have in the last 1,200 years. The gospel is penetrating a lot of the Muslim nations. Number two, thank God, more national pastors are realizing that it is now their ball to carry in their nation, and they must be about the King's business. Thus, I am so thankful for what Help Ministry is able to do to facilitate a lot of these good national pastors coming and getting a helping hand from good churches and going back and preaching the gospel. Because let's face it, the United States is no longer doing very well at sending missionaries to every corner of our world like we once had in the past. I am told that it takes now four fundamental independent Baptist churches to produce one American missionary. Shame on us. When I was in Tennessee Temple from 1969 to 72, at least half of the men in Bible college were going to go to a foreign field and be a missionary. I was told of a Filipino pastor, Pastor Nobles, that has sent out of his church 24 missionaries to foreign countries. They've gone to China, India, Iraq, Iran. They have gone where American missionaries cannot get a visa. But don't forget, there are no closed doors with God. I've also been told that in the next 25 to 30 years, the nation that will be sending out the most missionaries to the world will be the Filipino brothers. While no details, number three, are being given out, the gospel of Jesus Christ is now being beamed into the darkness of North Korea through radio. Wouldn't it be great if Little Rocket Man got saved? And number four, in Uzbekistan, where Bibles are forbidden, and if found in the home, the man of the home is fined 1 year's salary. Now the cell phone and Bible apps allow its citizens to have access to the Word of God without detection. Number four, Iraq, a Muslim nation. Yet in Baghdad, the capital city, stands the New Testament Baptist Church, and they are currently building a Bible college in Baghdad. Of Iraq's 180 radio stations, Christian Radio International, founded by George and Barbara Zarus, report that they have 5 radio stations in Iraq that are now sending the gospel message to the entire nation 24/7. And the most exciting news is that this radio station was rated in the top 10 radio stations, a fundamental Bible radio ministry, after 6 months, made it in the top 10 of 180 stations. And they were asked to officially represent Iraq. In Paris, at the UN Convention for Radio, they were told by the Iraqi government that we are 100% behind you, and your station has a calming effect upon our nation. Now, maybe we can better understand, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When I met George Zarus, founder of Christian Radio International, I asked him if they receive requests from listeners around the world for Christian materials. He said, yes, of course we do. I said, which nation sends in the most requests for materials about Christ? He said, guess. So I'm thinking, maybe China. That's one of the larger nations in the world. He said, they're second. He said, Iran. Ask for more Christian material than any other country we hear from. Today, it is estimated that 16,000 Muslims per day are being saved somewhere in our world. One sheikh was quoted, "We don't know how to solve the problem." Maybe that puts a little bit of light on why they're busy killing Christians in Nigeria. God is very busy in His world. We know that. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to help by praying for those that are doing the work and to give so that more can do the work where God is busy in His world before Christ comes back. Does God want us on a foreign mission field? If God calls any of us, how can we not go? Do we need to pray more? Without a doubt. You have loved ones lost like I do? Pray every day. Pray for the men and the women that are out on the front lines winning folks to Christ. Do all of us need to give more? Yes, absolutely. We need to support those that are on the front lines of world evangelism. I want to draw your attention, keep your place here in Philippians. Go to Matthew chapter 24, please. Pastor asked you in Sunday school to mark certain verses. I want you to mark Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. And the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When I met George Zarus 4 years ago, he told me that they have plans to send the gospel by way of radio into all the world in 5 to 10 years. Currently, he said, at this time, we are reaching 4.5 billion hearers in 137 countries in the world. And in 5 to 10 years, God willing, every nation, whether they listen to it or not, will have access to hearing the gospel. Well, what does that mean? Well, it could mean that Jesus is coming back sooner than you and I realize. And we that are saved need to do more than we've ever done in our entire lives, getting the gospel out. And if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, and you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to save you from hell, you today need to receive the wonderful Lord Jesus as your Savior. Brother Scotty, I had the privilege of preaching at one of our churches up north. After the service, a man spoke to me, came up to me, and I had preached on the return of Christ, and he said, "Thank you for that message." And he said, "I really do believe the Lord's coming back like you do." He said, "I moved down from up north 12 years ago and found this church. I've been coming here faithfully for 12 years. And then he just said, "My wife doesn't come with me, and she's not saved." I didn't see any emotion. I didn't see any grief. And it just shocked me that he could just matter-of-factly tell me, "My wife isn't saved. She doesn't come to church with me," but not show any emotion. I said to him, "Man, you need to pray for her constantly." I said, "You need to tell her often. You need to tell her all the time. Honey, you need to be saved." I said, "You need to get people from this church coming by, witnessing to her." He said, "Well, I leave books open and I leave a track around every once in a while." I thought, man, that's not enough. 12 years and it's not getting the job done. I was so afraid that Jesus would come back before my family members got saved. My grandpa in Hartford City, in Indiana, owned a bar, a tavern. And I'm sure that he and grandma died without Christ and went to hell. My dad was a drunk. My brother became an alcoholic. I got saved and delivered from the curse of alcohol in my family. And I prayed and I wept over my brother for 22 years before he got saved. I was preaching up north for 42 years. Every time I would come home to Florida, to the Tampa area and Brandon area, I would go see my brother every year and I would tell him he needed to be saved. I would go see my mom and dad for 23 years and I would weep over them, and they hated to see me come home because they knew I would come and plead with them to get saved again. If you have someone in your family, call out their name every day to God to save them. My brother is a Sunday school teacher up in the panhandle now. My parents are both in heaven. Now, I know you get the truth in your great church. And your missionaries' offerings are amazing. Your concern for the world, it's outstanding. And I know that you know and you hear it here that Jesus is coming back. You know, most of Christianity, they don't care a hoot about the rapture. They're not expecting the Lord. A man that was saved in my church in Ohio told me recently, he said, "Brother Mormon," he said, "I just believe that Jesus is in the starting blocks like an Olympic runner, just waiting on the father to say, 'Son, go bring our children home.'" You're going to be asked to make a commitment. Could I at least challenge all of us to give as much or more than we do for our phone and our internet and our TV service? Let not a one of us go to heaven, try to tell the Lord we couldn't give to missionaries because we had to have a phone or an internet or a TV service. Thank God that we get to have a part in something God is doing in His world. May God bless us as we give to missionaries, as we pray for them, and as we seek to win as many Americans to Christ as we can.
Let's bow our heads, close our eyes this morning. We've been challenged, told about souls being saved around the world, challenged for missions, challenged to reach our family with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ yourself. You don't know if you died right now where you would spend eternity. You've never put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and the resurrection, the faith of Jesus Christ. Today you can do that. We invite you. This is an invitation, and we'll invite you. Maybe God spoke to you. He mentioned our phones and our streaming. Maybe you've never given to missions before. Maybe you need to talk to God about it today. In your seat or at the altar, God, I need you to burden me for missions. Maybe you need to step out and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. I'm not sure what it is that God wants you to do, but I pray you do this. Maybe you need to come and beg God for the soul of your brother, your mother, your child. I don't know what it is, but God has spoken to you today and you need to do business with Him. I'm going to pray and then we're going to stand and do business with God. Dear God, I pray that you would draw those that need to be saved. God, help those that have been convicted to reach out to loved ones, to be saved, Lord, to pray for them. God, I pray that today would be the day they start. God, I pray for those of us that are burdened for missions. Lord, help us to not write down, not be scared about what we ought to put down on that paper, but to put down what you put upon our heart and trust you to see it done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. The altar is open. Brother Bert's going to sing. You step out and come.